If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
Tannehill looking, throws left side, open at the five, and into the end zone is Dontrell Hilliard for a 14-yard Titans touchdown.
First and goal at the four. Henry back in at running back, single back. The give is to Henry, tries the left side. Derrick Henry into the end zone for a Titans touchdown. Second down and goal at the three. The best red zone touchdown offense in the National Football League. The give is to Henry. He'll throw, and Henry throws a touchdown to Austin Hooper.
Guys are making plays. You know, we had opportunities and took advantage of some underneath stuff that they were giving us. And then when we had opportunities down the field, took advantage of those as well. So I'm just proud of our guys, the way they came out and competed, played efficiently the entire game. When we came in, wanted to be the more physical team. I thought we were up front. Guys came with a purpose, started the game that way, and then carried it throughout the game.
Yeah, season's not over. There's still six opportunities left. You know, we got a tough game. Got to go to Philly. Hopefully we can, these few days, get a little healthier, refresh the mind, and then obviously we got to win these next games.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez on this Friday, November 18th, 2022. Stan Weber will be on the show coming up at 6:30. And then Gary Lezak. Then we'll have the Border Patrol Blitz. Deion Clisso with high school football in a season that will never end, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Grenhard will also be with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's see, do we have another guest too? Well, I was working on something else, but no. The answer is no. But thank you so much for spending your Friday with us. We appreciate it. Last night on Thursday Night Football, it was a decent game. Green Bay with a chance to maybe revive their season after their big win over Dallas. If they could have paired that with a win last night over the Tennessee Titans, then maybe they got something going. Unfortunately for them, it was not to be, as the Titans end up winning on Monday Night Football. And the Titans, man, they're you know, I still don't think they can be legitimately a Super Bowl contender with Tannehill at quarterback, but you have to give them credit. They have won 7 of their last 8 games, and the only game they've lost was an overtime loss at Arrowhead with a rookie quarterback who can't throw the football. So they are clearly one of the hottest teams in the NFL, and they showed it again last night. They get a workmanlike 27-17 victory on the road against the Green Bay Packers, and the star of the game was, why didn't I pick up Treylon Burks, the rookie wide receiver for Tennessee? I almost said he had a good game last night. But Derrick Henry continues to have a marvelous season. And so, there you go. I was wrong. I thought the Packers were going to win last night. And so, that did not. Who did you end up? Did you end up making a move on this one last night at all, Marco?
Yeah, Packers and under. Both did not hit.
Yeah, the under. The under did not come through.
Cleared it by
points. I had said yesterday, everything's pointing to the under. Doesn't it seem a little too good to be true? It felt like it felt like bait, and so I'm happy to say I did not. Last couple of days, I've been here for quite some time after the show, doing some stuff around here, and so I had a lot of time to think about it. Usually, when I don't make a bet, it's because I forget, and then I get home and I'm on the Missouri side. It's like, oh, can't bet now, and so I had a lot of time to think about it, and I decided, you know what, this is too good to be true. If it looks too good to be true, then maybe it's not. Because Tennessee, I think, had 5 straight games where it had all been the under. And Thursday night, there's been a lot of success hitting the under. And like you said, it was 41. And what was the total, 44?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did you do the under?
I took the L on that one.
Did you?
Yep. Under's been good to me every time I've bet it so far this season on Thursday Night Football, but it wasn't last night.
Creighton did cover their first half spread, like Dieter said, so that part wasn't too bad.
I wonder if Gary Dieter, he had said that after what happened to him with the Kansas City Ruse against LSU, that he was going to take UMKC. He's going to take the Ruse. I wonder if he did. It would have paid off. They covered. Because they were, I think, 19-point underdogs, and the final score was 69-53. So, I told Gary Dieter, take the Ruse. Take the Ruse, baby. That was actually a somewhat decent game for a while. It was a, when I looked at, St. Pius X had an open house for incoming families last night. So, got all these things I'm doing with the girls going to high school. It's a lot. Oh, man. It's a lot physically and even more so emotionally. I'm not ready for all this. So, I'm checking scores, you know, we're walking through, and like one of the current students gives a group, they had tours from 3 until 6. And so we go in a small group, and one of their best friends was with them. And so a couple of parents and a few, and apparently a cute boy was in our group.
Oh, boy.
He wrestles. Dad, you wrestled. I don't want you going out with or liking any boy compared to me or anything I did at this school. Please do not use me as a template. Because if little Stephen St. John comes over asking to date my daughter, the answer is no.
Oh, come on.
Hell
now.
No. No. Hell, I would have said, no. To me. Yeah. That's right. No, you're too slow on that. It's hell to the no. That's exactly
get
right.
Get Bush or Bullwinkle over to your house.
You see me? I see me, a little me walking. Lock.
Hell to the no. Come on. Hell no. To the no.
But I mean, they've wanted to go there since, I mean, when Richie was a freshman there, they were like two, And so, like, you know, the principal, Mr. Monachino, and the vice principal, Mr. Lee, are the same. And Mr. Monachino, they were my teachers when I was a student there. One was my algebra teacher, the other was my biology teacher. And so they, you know, they've known them forever. And even like they were making the comment last night, the first time we saw you, you were in a stroller here. Like, and it, I'm like, oh. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's, right? It's emotional.
Yeah.
But they've like wanted to, especially Selena, they wanted to go to Pius their whole lives. Just want to skip right past grades. I'm like, can we put the brakes on this?
Right.
And so I'm checking scores, and at one point it was like, I think with 4.5, 5 minutes left, it's a 10-point game. We'll ask Dan Weber about the how the Ruse looked, because they put up a fight against a couple of good programs in LSU and K-State. And of course, they lost to Lincoln University, and they got beat pretty bad by Illinois. But by the way, that's not an easy schedule starting off, is it?
No.
When you're at K-State and you're at LSU and you're at Illinois.
No, you got to.
Damn, Marvin Menzies.
But just probably funded the basketball program for the year with those three games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be ready. You'll be ready for conference play after games like that.
And that's the whole thing. Because in the Ruse conference, there will be no at-large bids. Right? It's what you do. It's getting ready for the conference tournament.
Yeah.
You know? And this will get them ready. Because Marvin Menzies knows about having success and getting teams mid-majors to the NCAA tournament. So, whatever he has to do to get them to the next level, let's go. So, but the important thing is Gary Dieter was going to bet with the Kangaroos after it burned him betting against them against LSU. So,
yep.
I wonder if he benefited from the Ruse last
night. I bet he did.
I got it. I bet he did.
See?
No.
You're quick on the draw this morning.
Who is? I'm not. I'll tell you, I'm not at all.
No?
I mean, I will be. You'll be able to be a huge surprise if I'm here at 10. I just might walk out and just start walking.
Well, what about our podcast?
I don't know.
Can't back down now.
Oh, I can do whatever I want.
I came bouncing into the house last night when I got into town and told my wife, I get to go on Stephen St. John's podcast, and he wants to talk soccer with me.
Between now and then, I'll drink 5 cups of coffee.
Here you go. All right. Whatever it takes, man.
You mean to go get you a 5-hour energy monster?
No, but if you're talking about going to get stuff, you can't leave, though. You can't leave your post. If you were really willing, we'd be talking breakfast tacos from Quick Trip. So we'd be.
That's, I could always make a run for you.
That's
point.
Where that's what would be on the table. Right. And see, you say that, you say I'd make a run for you.
Yeah,
I just looked at your face when I said breakfast tacos. That would be a run for Nate.
No, I was just offering to help you out. Maybe I get something for myself as well. I don't know.
Is anybody worried about this Chargers game?
Worried a little bit. I mean, it's going to be a game. You know, I'm not just taking it as a automatic dub.
See, people need to talk to me now because I'm taking it as an automatic dub. And I think maybe I need to be slapped into reality.
You know,
because
it's the NFL.
It's the Chiefs.
It is in the AFC
West. I think right
West.
Now the Chiefs, except that, okay, they had the Colts game. They had the Colts game, so that was the mulligan. They lost to the Bills. Chiefs and Bills play 10 times. You know, I think the Chiefs win 6 and the Bills win 4. I don't know. I mean, you're not going to win every game against elite competition.
Right.
Right? But I just feel like the Chiefs are now the injuries to the wide receivers is cause for pause. But man, the Chargers have as many injuries as anyone. But I just feel like right now where Patrick Mahomes is and what he's doing, and I mean building an MVP season, he is the MVP. And if anyone else, if anyone makes an argument for someone else, they're just trying to be cute or contrarian. Don't overthink it. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. All right? If you just want to, for blanks and giggles, throw someone else out there, great. But you're not being truthful. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, best player in football. And, you know, Andy Reid is a far better coach than Staley. And the way this Chiefs defense has been playing, now that McDuffie's back, and now, and I know there'll be some people that I roll out there, but I'm still hopeful, because remember how Frank Clark was playing before he was suspended, getting Frank Clark back.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, with the way Colin Saunders is playing on the defensive line, the way Chris Jones is playing, Karlaftis is getting better, Carlos Dunlap has really played some good football the past couple of weeks, then hopefully get back a rested and refreshed Frank Clark. Willie Gay and Nick Bolton have finally been on the field together for a few weeks, and they're getting their groove back. McDuffie's finally back. Now all of a sudden, and it's crazy, I'm sitting here talking about Mahomes and the offense, but now all of a sudden, all of the components of the defense, which have not been together, really are going to be together, right?
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Because how long do they have McDuffie?
Well, not even a full game.
Right. Okay. And then Willie Gay and Frank Clark and this. It's just right. It just happened to where they've been missing important pieces throughout the whole season defensively. And they've still been good, but now they're all together. And I'm really excited, even though Patrick Mahomes is the straw that stirs the drink, I'm really excited to see them and what they can do defensively.
Yeah, and I guess it. I haven't looked recently to see what the story is with like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I know they're still listed as questionable.
The story is they're always hurt.
Right.
Nate.
But if those guys, one or both of those guys, are healthy, then that'll be an even bigger challenge for the defense, which maybe is a good thing, you know, to see how they stack up. Because this is a good Chargers offense if they've got their weapons. Austin Eckler is a very good running back. I think Justin Herbert still is a very good quarterback. And they've got weapons. So, but if they're either way, it'll be good to see the defense out there with everybody healthy. But it could be a really good test for them, because this Chargers offense can be very, very good. So, and we've talked about this many times ever since the Patrick Mahomes era started, that we don't need the Chiefs defense to be a top five defense. You just need the Chiefs defense to be middle of the pack. And if they can be that, then it's, you got a Super Bowl caliber team on your hands.
Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both limited in practice. As for the Chiefs, McKinnon was limited. Snead was limited. MVS was limited. Juju did not practice. And unfortunately, Mecole Hardman was placed on IR, which, again, that sucks. That's a blow. But again, how good does the Kadarius Toney trade look now?
And you have to wonder,
how good does it look now?
Did they maybe see this coming?
Him getting hurt?
You know? Well, you've been dealing with that heel injury all year, you know?
I don't know. I honestly, I just think they saw an opportunity to get a player that they liked in the draft, they liked in the offseason, and they liked him enough to where if they were going to be able to get him at that kind of discount, it was a no-brainer. It was an they liked him. They didn't have a first-round pick. They wanted him. They liked him, but they didn't have a chance to draft him. And Brett Veach has a history of players that he liked that he didn't get a chance to draft. Well, if it doesn't work out in their first spot, then he'll go out and get them later on at a discount. Now, that was a tremendous discount quick after, you know, a quick fall from grace from being a first-round pick for the Giants. But I just think they saw him. And I do think it was partially, we don't really love the free agent class that's coming up. We don't think we're going to be able to match the contract that might be offered to Mecole Hardman. We got to think about next year. And, oh, by the way, give us some quality depth so if something does happen, we got another toy. You know, where does he get those wonderful toys? Movie.
The movie Toy.
No, Jack Nicholson, Batman.
Oh.
And that Batman.
You know, I'm the wrong guy for the Batman quotes.
That's the first Batman.
First Batman. That one was with Kim Basinger.
Right. Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Would you have known that? Were you just a young toddler? Do you ever watch that one?
Yeah. With
Michael Keaton?
I used to have it on VHS.
Oh, did you? You watch that and rewind?
And my grandparents had it.
Oh, you loved it.
Pale Moonlight.
See? Mm-hmm. There you go.
Just to to finish the point on Mecole, though, I just because I haven't had a chance to say it.
Mecole.
This is a loss for the Chiefs. Mecole Hardman was a very good weapon for the Chiefs.
Yes.
Very good weapon. And, you know, for all the stuff we've said about it.
I'm upset about it because I like Mecole Hardman a lot. But the blow, the gut punch is softened by the fact that they acquired Kadarius Toney.
Big time.
We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's hear a couple of quips from out at Arrowhead yesterday as the Chiefs take on the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. I think they're going to be good without him because of Kadarius Toney and the fact that, in the long run, it's going to be tough this week. You got Watson, who knows all three positions and who's I think equipped to step in and be very productive, when they need him this week. Kadarius Toney, boy, I'd love to see Sky Moore do something. If there's ever a week that he was going to make an impact in the offense, this would be the week. Because I don't think Juju's going to play.
No.
I hope he doesn't play.
Right.
They've lost Mecole Hardman now on IR. And, MVS isn't totally 100%, but he should play. I think that's enough, And then you always got Travis Kelce. Noah Gray has stepped up in the passing game. They can always utilize Jerick McKinnon. And who knows, maybe try to run the football more. The ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, that's plenty of weapons right there. What we just said, I think they'll be able to do just fine. But I'll be honest with you, I was really disappointed to hear that Mecole Hardman's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I feel bad for him too because he was having his best year. I mean, I think he was growing in how they were using him, and they were getting him the ball in the ways that he needs to get the ball. But yeah, he was.
All right, so let's hear a couple of clips. First, let's hear Eric Bieniemy first. He was asked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and whether he is still a part of the game plan. So this is Eric Bieniemy talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Well, we always, one of our biggest things, we always want to get the best people who happen to be the best football players. And so team chemistry goes a long way. Clyde is one of those guys. Now, obviously, he hasn't had very many opportunities as of late, but he's still a part of this team. And he understands how important it is to making sure that backs keep their confidence level up. And I mean, he's had his unfortunate incidents, that have happened in the past. And one thing that we don't shy away from, we want those guys to understand, mistakes happen. We don't want them to happen very often, but they happen. Life happens. Now, we're not just going to put you to the side. Now get back out there and show what you can do to get you to regain your confidence. But it just goes to show you, not only just the chemistry and the people that we have, but also just the culture in which has been established here.
What's that, Marco? What did you say?
Hmm?
What did you say?
To you just now?
Yes.
I said he's talking about Pacheco.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I think he was kind of talking about both.
Started out talking about Clyde.
Right.
Yeah. So that must have been about Pacheco's fumble in the last game. So. I don't know.
Marco, Polo, what would you say he was talking about?
Both running backs? Do you want to run it back?
No. No, I don't. Let's hear Dave Tobe. We'll play the first one from Dave Tobe. Tobe was asked how he feels about Kadarius Toney as his punt returner and how he did on Sunday.
Right now he's, I can't wait to see him get a ball kicked to him. You know, we haven't had that option really. I mean, they did a good job last week of using the sidelines and hanging the ball up pretty good. So sooner or later, he's going to get one kicked to him. We're going to find out what he's got. I got a pretty good feeling about it though.
Does it make you nervous at all where he just lets the ball fall and then he'll go grab it and try to run real quick?
Well, he's got to do a little bit better with some reads, you know, but he'll, you know, that's part of learning experience. You know, he's young, you know,
right.
And he's going to get better and better. But he's something with the ball in his hand.
So just be clear on that. So that's not a style. That's not like,
no.
I can wait and catch it on the
ball. No.
You'd rather him settle under it, catch it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some reads that he's got to make, and he could have like a pre-punt read that he can make to kind of get a jump on the ball that he didn't necessarily do a good job of in that game. That he'll do better next time, and then he'll be there waiting on the ball instead of letting it bounce. The thing that I like about him, he's very courageous. I mean, there's no question about that. Now we just got to pull him back a little bit. You know, he's anxious. He wants to get going. He wants the ball in his hand. So, I'm just excited when he does get one kicked to him.
Dave Tobe was also asked about the opening kickoff against Jacksonville.
I'm going to take the full blame on that because I'm the one that gives the instructions to the captains. So, it's my job to make sure it's clear what we want to get done. We had a communication problem there, obviously. You know, if we win the toss, we want to defer. That's what we do. So, it was something that, you know, it's an honest mistake that happened, communication problem. That's on me.
All right, we'll play some more. We'll play some Steve Spagnuolo here in a little bit about Colin Saunders and handling Mike Williams against the Chargers on Sunday night and more after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, Marco Marquez, and Stan Weber on this Friday, November 18th, 2022. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
So, I was interested yesterday. I couldn't watch all of it because, as I explained earlier, I was on open house tour at St. Pius for all the freshmen to be next year, eighth graders. And so I was very emotional, but I kept checking my scores because the Ruse, the Kansas City Ruse, played Kansas State. And my son, who is a sophomore at UMKC, his girlfriend goes to K-State in Salina. She's going to be a pilot. And so he drove out there, and they met in Manhattan and went to the game. And so how was that? How was
they look fine together?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the teams or the.
Well, the teams look fine together too. But your son, I said hi to him.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
He sat in the first row.
Okay.
In the permanent seats, there's seats right behind the bench that just turn over depending on. You know, if the athletic director wants to sit there, the president of the university, people with UMKC, you know, they have that area. But he sat in the real seats, the real comfortable seats.
Oh, really?
First row, yes.
So he had good seats.
Very good.
Yeah, they had purchased seats, just bought seats. I said, you know, Phil, I do have a few connections at UMKC, so let me see if I can get you some nice seats. And so I was glad that they made it up there and they were able to go. I was texting with Coach Menzies before the game, and that's quite a schedule so far this year. They've played at LSU, at Illinois and at Kansas State.
Yeah, but they fly commercial a lot too,
right?
So it's a lot harder than what I experienced.
And they gave, you know, and they put up a real fight against LSU, and they were only down 5 with 5 minutes left. And I think, what was it, down? They were down 10 with about 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left, and then K-State pulled away. So what were your takeaways from not only how the Roos look, but so far what you've seen from K-State under Jerome Tang?
Well, first of all, for K-State, you know, Jerome Tang's interpretation of what needs to be done, if he makes a statement, and it can be in public, in a with the media, or just him and I talking one-on-one, I cannot believe how much I believe in what he says. So far, out of 100%, I'm just knocking on the door trying to say it, why it's not 100%. Everything he says. I have this new theory, I thought. I have some of these that I, you know, tell a few of my friends or my family or my wife or whatever, and one of my newest ones is your strength is your weakness. Your strength is your weakness. Whatever you're good at, it's too much for people. They're tired of whatever you do all the time. You know, if you're detailed and helpful, like, can you relax? You know, we're at the beach. No, the people are detailed or detailed. You know, your
people,
strength.
People that talk a lot like me, you know,
it's
maybe
great.
I have a tendency
but
to talk
also,
too much sometimes.
It's your strength is your weakness.
Yeah.
You just wear people out.
Yeah.
Well, Jerome Tang, in the media session that we had with him the other day, says, your strength is your weakness, when he's talking about Marquise Noel. And I was going, man, this is unbelievable. I'm just checking. He has a Bill Snyder Award. For instance, there's a show that was out about the K-State turnaround. A filmmaker made a great show about Bill Snyder, and he happened to be given a copy of it and watch it. And after that, he's instituted the Bill Snyder Award for his basketball team. Like, each game, who's selfless, who does everything it takes to win. I could go on and on and on. I mean, Jerome Tang, when I sat down with him for a half hour right before the season started, and we went over philosophy, strategy, everything else, I was just like, perfect, perfect, perfect. And even when he says, when you ask him, you ask Jerome Tang, hey, what did you like about your team tonight? And he's just like, oh, man, I'm not very good at this. I'm not very good. I don't look at things that way. I look at what needs to be fixed. That's what winners do. They're not negative. Winners aren't negative when they say, okay, fine. Now, what can we do better? What things do we need to work on? I mean, I love his attitude and everything he's doing. And K-State didn't play with as much energy as he wanted to. They kind of played a scoreboard. They were ahead by 20 in the second half. Things were going easily, and the Roos just continue to fight. I really like Kansas City's team, what they've done, the kind of kids they have, the size they have, the guards working together. There's so many things I like, and I look up at the scoreboard and said, K-State's ahead by 20. How are they doing this? And, you know, they weren't making their three balls, made none in the second half. So K-State, I don't know how good they're going to be, but they are a connected team. And the coaching staff is together. They're great guys. And everything Jerome Tang is trying to do and develop, I agree with 100%. It's a lot of fun. But I love talking to Coach Menzies. First time I met him, it was delightful. One of the things is, when you work on the television side, Stephen, you get all kinds of great access.
Right.
You know, if I'm the K-State radio announcer, I just wave at the head coach, maybe talk to some assistants. If I know Bob Huggins, he'll come over and talk to me, obviously. But most of the time, you're just cordial. Hi, Coach. That's it. When you're on the television side, like I was last night, it's like, hey, can we go in the locker room and talk to the coach? You're like, yeah, come on in here. So we sit down and chat for a while, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm very impressed with what the Kansas City Roos, UMKC, whatever you want to call them, what they're doing, how he's developing his program. He's a very established coach who said, I was retired. I wasn't going to come back. But he believed so much in the president of UMKC and believed so much in the athletic director and what the Roos were trying to do, that he came back. And I think they got a very, very good coach, a good young group of team. And if you haven't watched them, they're very tall. You know, they're not an undersized wannabe basketball team.
A lot of international players.
A lot of international players. The second most in the country, 8 players from international sites from 5 different countries, 2 sets of brothers. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch. When they get out and run, they finish at the rim very well. Yet their strength is really going to the offensive boards. They're big. You know, they're tall. They were many times in the game, they had the taller lineup compared to the K-State Wildcats. But it was pretty amazing to see how well the Roos did, and we could compliment them all day. And I looked up at the scoreboard, like I said, and K-State was bored. They were ahead by 20, and kind of they got ahead by 20 against Cal, took the foot off the accelerator, and the Cal Bears, who were at home, came back within one. And in case they had to go win the game again with 5 minutes. So it helped that they've experienced that. They didn't let that happen this time. But I liked what both teams did. K-State's undefeated, and they're off to – both teams are off to tournaments. Three games in 3 days next week. K-State, Grand Cayman Islands. They play Rhode Island and either Nevada or Tulane in game two. They'll play three straight days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So you know, obviously Bruce Weber had way more success than Konzo Martin did. But I have been impressed with the way both coaches, and Jerome Tang and Dennis Gates, have injected enthusiasm and life into the program. It was much tougher task at Mizzou. But, Konzo Martin didn't, in his press conferences, you didn't walk away wanting to run through a wall. You're like, good God, I'm going to go lay down now. And Bruce Weber, there were K-State fans that had issues with things he would say, whatever. But I've just really enjoyed listening to both coaches talk basketball, talk about what they want to do with their program, get out and engage with the fan bases and engage with the students, because that's not easy. But I'm really excited to sort of watch both of them build their programs. And I think, maybe I'll be proved wrong in 3 or 4 years, but I think both teams really made great hires for what they're trying to do. I like them both.
I hope so. I'm more about results than press conferences. Andy Reid's press conferences aren't too fun, and he wins like a mother. So what I liked about, like I said, with Coach Tang, he is great at the press conference. He is awesome with the students. He's got everyone excited, and I'm all for that. I mean, that is so much fun. But the substance of winning is what he's really about. And that, like I said, my impression of all the things that you get a chance to see, great. Check, check, check. Love it. He's created an enthusiasm. It's really awesome. But the substance of what you do year after year after year after year, if he's here 10 years from now, where's K-State basketball? I'm telling you, what I love is the behind-the-scenes things, his strategy, his philosophy, his attitude, what he's trying to achieve, why he's trying to do it. It makes absolute sense, and that's what makes me excited. I think he's convicted, and he's focused on the right thing. I've seen coaches who are convicted. That's good. You got to be convicted. I think coaches are more successful if they believe in the way they do it, even if it's kind of not the best. If it's 70% as good as Bill Belichick would do, but you still, if you're Kiffin as Mississippi's football coach, okay, he's not Saban, he's not Nick Saban, but I like the fact he's comfortable in his skin and plays the cards the way he does. Is it the way that I would believe in 100%? Do I believe Mississippi's going to be a power and he's going to maximize things? Not necessarily, but if I were coaching someone else, I'd say do it your way and believe in it. That's number one. Coach Tang is doing that. But if you have the instincts like a Bill Belichick or Andy Reid to be focused on the right things, then you have a chance for unlimited success. And that's the thing that excites me about Jerome Tang is I'm telling you, everything I've talked to him about, every sentence he said, I'm just shaking my head, hoping he doesn't notice in my eyes that I'm going, yeah, bring that on. Come on, let's go with it. Why he's recruiting, how he's doing it, how he's trying to distribute his classes, what he wants to do on defense, offense, all these intricate strategies and behind the scenes things. I'm telling you, I am so impressed. If he can execute on what his plan is, and I think he's convicted because he's seen it happen at Baylor. Seeing Baylor grow, seeing Scott Drew be comfortable in his skin, how many times did people make fun of Scott Drew?
All the
time. 10 years ago.
All the time.
They were joking and laughing about that big zone defense and recruiting kind of one-and-done players and can't live up to Kansas and everything else. But think about the last 5 years. Rock solid, man-to-man defense. Mm-hmm. Guards who can shoot and dribble. Players that are connected, players that transfer in, sit out a year, just a redshirt to get better. K-State did that. They recruited all these guys, and they've got three really good players who decided they're going to invest in the program and not play this year, just like Baylor did. And then they won a national championship. They won a Big 12 championship. So Jerome Tang is very comfortable in his skin. He has great strategy, but he's also seen it done in the Big 12 at Baylor when they didn't have all the advantages. And people were looking at them saying, cute little team, but, congratulations, third place, or maybe you'll make that Elite Eight run. But, no, they made it all the way to the national championship, and no one guards better than Baylor right now. And Jerome Tang was a big part of all that. So the enthusiasm is really cool, the excitement level. And so far, no team scored 60 points on K-State. So the defense is really, really good. And guess what? It's a good place to start, right? Great defense?
Yep.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll get into some college football coming up a little bit later. But I wanted to ask you, we were talking before you got here about the injury to Mecole Hardman. Now, he went on the IR with an abdominal injury. But several people have reported, including Matt Verderame, who reported this on Twitter last night, that it's not expected to be season-ending, that they think he'll be able to come back after missing four games. But again, how good does this trade for Kadarius Toney look? It looked good even before Mecole Hardman got hurt, and I thought it was a steal. But now, I mean, he could be one of the focal points of the offense on Sunday with the injuries to Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, and MVS banged up.
I think I was pretty positive about that trade. I could see myself driving down the road talking to you guys on a Friday morning and love the fact that they got him, a first-round guy with all that talent. I knew his hamstring – well, that's a bad word. Don't say you know. I thought the hamstring injury was more of just his reaction to what was happening with the Giants. And it's just funny how, you know, he's running full speed when he got here. But the capabilities that he has and the way that Andy Reid is able to integrate guys into the lineup and play with a fresh mind. Like the punt that dropped on the ground and he came up and grabbed. You know, that's just a bad play.
Right.
But that aggressiveness, you know, if you were at the Giants, for instance, they would have come over and in their own modern way, maybe without the cameras knowing, look at him trying to cuss him out saying, what the heck are you doing? That is the most non-fundamental play ever. What happens if you'd have fumbled that ball on the bounce? There were defenders around, right? When the ball bounced, he came up and got it with aggressiveness, and there were people around. Well, I think the Giants' attitude would be, we don't screw up. We don't do dumb things. And I think Andy Reid just gives these players a level of confidence like, go get it, man. Be aggressive. Show me what you have. And I think that is always something that, you know, the fans say, well, God, why did the Chiefs have a turnover here or there? But I think he wants them to play at their maximum creative level. And so I thought the trade was very good from the start, from, you know, X, Y, and Z. Here he is showing things. But the thing that's amazing is he looks like Tyreek Hill light. I mean, I just got to say it. When I saw him go around on that jet sweep, I just go, that looks as close to Tyreek Hill as almost anybody else in the NFL.
Second person that said this now. Did you hear who else said earlier this week? Gary Dieter said the same thing. And Gary Dieter, I mean, that's a pretty good source there. You're a pretty good source. And now two people like.
I mean, I have no agenda because I'm a big Tyreek Hill believer. He's dominant, unique. But when he went around the corner and turned that into a 30-yard run, then, you know, Mecole Hardman would have made a nice 7-yard run and got shoved out of bounds. But this kid can shake a little bit and move, and he's got that aggressiveness. And he's a little bit out of control, which is what you want. I mean, that's what Tyreek Hill was, just a little bit out of control. And I think Andy Reid looks over there with just a smile in his heart. He might not show it on his face. It was like, let's go, boys. Let's be aggressive.
He got this dude for a third and the sixth. Back after this on WHB.